You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of Internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network, your voice is now heard.
Welcome to Aflame Ministry with your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning. Kathleen Panning, who has been an ordained minister for over 35 years, brings her experience to your ministry. Be it energizing your staff or working through conflicts with your faith community. So now, please welcome the host of Aflame Ministry, Pastor Kathleen Panning.
Welcome to Aflame Ministry. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning, and we are here on Bold Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio. This is a show about ministry and the many and many varied forms that that can take. Sometimes my guest is someone who helps us understand the different faith and tries to dispel any misunderstandings. Other times my guest is someone who talks about things that are common to all faiths because they're about us as people. And today my guest is kind of a combination of those two. He is Pastor Rob Corum. He's a returning guest, originally on the show November 12th, 2019. Good grief, almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. But Pastor Rob is a former engine design engineer, of all things, with a major American equipment manufacturer and still a self-professed motorhead. He's now a pastor of Prism Ministries with the Nebraska Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Several years ago, Rob was praying for a change in his life, meaning at that point a new job, when he got a call to join a prison ministry called Kairos in Indiana. Even though it wasn't really what he had in mind, he followed the call anyway, and through men in prison, God touched his heart. Rob found himself fed by telling and showing people who thought God hated them that God really loves them, and eventually discerned a need to go into ministry full time. Meanwhile, a dedicated corps of volunteers were working with the state of Nebraska, and in 2018, a Kairos program was started in Nebraska at the state penitentiary. After 4 years in that prison ministry in Indiana, Rob headed off to seminary and then became a pastor at a small church in Nebraska. But when he got to Nebraska, Rob was surprised to find that the Nebraska Synod had a position called Pastor of Prison Ministries. That got him wondering what God was up to, and when the person in that role retired early in 2019, Rob was called to that role. Looking back, anyone, especially Rob, could see God's hand in all over on the path to that point. Pastor Rob is now blessed to be a connecting point between a Kairos community in Nebraska and a worshiping community at Nebraska State Penitentiary. Pastor Rob, welcome back to Aflame Ministry.
Thanks, Pastor Kathleen. It's nice to be here.
When we first talked, you were kind of new in this role as pastor of prison ministry, and a lot has changed since November of 2019, including a pandemic, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, all kinds of different things. So what has changed for you in this role as pastor of prison ministries in Nebraska?
Well, you're right. When I when we first talked last time, I was brand new in it and trying to replace somebody, which always has problems anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to do, but in that environment in the prison, it's there's a lot of trust issues, and so there was a lot of who are you and who do you think you are, and so I had to. It took a lot to sort of earn some credibility. And you might think this is kind of strange, but the pandemic might have actually helped with that. One of the things that happened is all of the regular volunteers, so that is people who basically are able to come in just because of passing a security check, but they have a two-hour orientation as to the do's and don'ts, and that's it. Whereas I've been through the training academy for new staff in the correction system. And so during the pandemic, the regular volunteers were not able to come in anymore, but I was. And a lot of the services, church services there are run by volunteers, regular volunteers. And when they suddenly couldn't come in, my workload dramatically increased. And so instead of doing being on a rotation, once a month rotation with various populations, now I was in twice a month, and I'm really in front of them a lot, and it's a very difficult time for everybody. As you can imagine, prison can be a pretty lonely place, and one of the problems with the relationships in prison can be that you have to have a face on, a false face on. And the pandemic cut off people's visits with loved ones, mm-hmm. with people maybe they could reel with, that sort of thing. So all of a sudden, there I am filling a role for people that was really, really needed. So it was really good, and it just dramatically increased the amount of credibility that I had with them, I think.
Yeah, in a sense, you became the only outside person other than the corrections staff, I would suspect, who they really had contact with.
Yeah, especially for the maximum security folks. That is true.
And I know that early on in the pandemic, prisons were one place where the COVID kind of sometimes took off and really infected a lot of people. And we have to take our first break, but I'd like you to talk about how that impacted people in Nebraska after we get back from our break. Yeah, this is Bold, Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. You're listening to Aflame Ministry. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Penning. Pastor Rob and I have a lot more to share about prison ministry, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you seek a courageous advocate, prepare to champion your rights with consumer service agencies that support aging populations, Carol Ann Hamilton is the one for you. Carol Ann is an elder care coach, author, and speaker with 250,000 hours lived experience successfully supporting uncopable aging parents. As a result of a challenging journey, Carol Ann revolutionizes how stressed-out caregivers restore serenity to their worlds. She also brings over 25 years of change management expertise in Fortune 500 settings to catalyze urgent transformation within the elder care industry. Carol Ann is a popular speaker at conferences across North America. She has appeared via TV, radio, and print globally. Now you can tune in weekly to get a dose of her inspiration plus down-to-earth advice to cope with even the most difficult aging parents. Listen Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Bold Brave Media and TuneIn Radio. Have you ever felt like no one is listening or you're not getting the honest attention you deserve? Do you even know the kind of attention you want or need? You are not alone. Alice Aspen March is here to help. Thanks to Alice, through her epiphany and research over the word attention, there are solutions to the attention dilemma. Worldwide audiences have been enthralled and engaged for over 40 years with her visionary and pioneering observations. The kind of attention we get and give is vital to improving our lives and society. Alice and her weekly guests review game-changing insights for transforming and improving our understanding of attention, providing techniques for creating healthier and empowering behavior. Get a new perspective on a mainstream word. Tune into Why Our Attention Matters for fresh and thought-provoking conversations every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on boldbravemedia.com and the TuneIn Radio app.
Welcome back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host for Aflame Ministry here on TuneIn Radio and Bold Brave Talk. And my guest today is Pastor Rob Corum. He is the pastor of Prison Ministries and in the Nebraska State Penitentiary as a pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And before the break, Pastor Rob, I started to ask you about how COVID impacted the inmates and the staff. I know that early on in the pandemic, some prisons were places where COVID really became a major concern and kind of rampant through the population. So please share a little bit about how that impacted people there and your ministry.
Sure. Well, it's funny in how many different ways this is true, but a prison population tends to mirror the outside population, just more concentrated. And this is true also of people's response to the pandemic. There's a lot of disbelief. There's a lot of fear. When it became possible to get vaccines, there were people that didn't trust whoever was pushing these vaccines. And then there were people who were like, man, everybody needs to get these vaccines. And there were people who were like, we all just need to get it, the disease and get it over with. And there were people, oh, it's going to kill me. I'm going to die. And so it's just, I mean, all the same things that we heard on the outside to hear on the inside, except that people are forced to be close to each other. And then we did start hearing, like, in some of the really large prisons in some of the other states about, as you mentioned, you know, once it gets started there, it just can sweep through. And I have to say the state of Nebraska was very concerned about that and took some pretty strong measures to keep that from happening, one of which was, as we alluded to earlier, that visitors were not allowed to come in. And they didn't have the technology set up other than in a few very select prisons for video visiting. And so they tried to do some of that, but basically this regular visits were out. And regular volunteers were out. And just people who've been through the academy were able to come in. But still, every now and then it would be found. And so they were asking inmates to, if they were at all sick, to get checked. And, of course, there's a reluctance to that because there's a negative ramifications if you're sick. But it was a negative for everybody in a given housing unit. And so they would shut down housing units. They would shut down whole sections of the prison. And this typically went, like 6 weeks now. It's been a while since we've had any of these happen. But in all three of the populations I serve, it happened at least once. It shuts the place down, and then people are like eating in their cells out of styrofoam clamshells, and actually they did that for most of the pandemic anyway, just to avoid the congregating in eating places where you couldn't wear masks and that sort of thing. But the state did a good job of providing masks, providing vaccines, but the vaccines were not forced. Masks. That was crazy. You go from a situation where absolutely you cannot wear anything covering your face because no one can hide their identity to, we'd really like you to put a mask on. The security staff was like, what? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. But, just like in on the outside, we learn that you can still tell who someone is when you get to know them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. There are just adjustments everywhere.
Yeah. It's interesting to know that, like you said, that the idea that whatever is true on normal population is true mm-hmm. within a prison population, just more concentrated. That's really helpful for all of us to keep in mind when we think about anything that happens within a prison and the people who are there, as well as how they respond to things. What about then, the Black Lives Matter movement and how that impacted the prison population?
Yeah, we have these parallel crises going on at the same time mm-hmm. in our country. And, it's kind of interesting. In the prisons, you have gangs. Whatever's on the outside is on the inside, too. And the staff does their best to recognize not only the threat someone is to the general population, but especially to each other. And try to minimize those problems. But a lot of these gangs are ethnically based. So you got Latino gangs, you got Black gangs, you got white gangs, and really skinheads, that sort of thing. And so you might think that this is, it is a really big deal in the prison, except that the brokenness is already there. Mm-hmm. And then you go to church, basically what we do, followers of Christ. And even in Kairos, so here's a story. When I was in Indiana doing Kairos, we would intentionally put two skinheads, two African-Americans, and two Latinos at the same table. And they would put up with that because they got some good food. But they knew that outside of this environment, this would be a rumble. This would be bad. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the weekends, we would take 3 days straight, 12 hours a day, talking to them, not only talking to them about Jesus, about the love of God shown in Jesus, but actually demonstrating it to them. And we would ask them some kind of provocative questions, and they would, by the time it was over, they were had trusting each other enough to answer them. These guys would be hugging. Hmm. I mean, it's crazy how this transformation would happen. And they would, they have this sign, they point to their eyes and they point at the other person and they say, I see you, and like, that's a bad thing. And they'd say, now when I see you on the yard like this, it's saying, I see you, I got your back. It's a good thing.
That is really interesting, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about what Followers of Christ is and how that works with Kairos and things like that, but we do have to take another break. This is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. You're listening to A Flame Ministry. Pastor Rob and I will be back with a lot more. Stay tuned.
Tune into It's All About You with host Dr. Martha Latz, a lively weekly broadcast on BBM Global Network, one of the most empowering shows for time-starved, overscheduled multitaskers. The professional expertise of Dr. Latz is directly available live every Thursday at 1 p.m. to answer and address concerns about relationships, life transitions of career, meeting, dating, and committed relationships. It's All About You with Dr. Latz will expand your understanding of current concerns across your relationships by broadening and expanding possible solutions in developing skills for mutually desired outcomes. Dr. Martha's expertise is as a licensed marriage and family therapist, life, transition coach, and all things to do with communication at work, home, and with friends. Check out her website at auniquetherapycenter.com.
Author, radio show host, and coach John M. Hawkins reveals strategies to help gain perspective, build confidence, find clarity, achieve goals.
John M. Hawkins' new book, Coached to Greatness, Unlock Your Full Potential with Limitless Growth, published by iUniverse. Hawkins reveals strategies to help readers accomplish more. He believes the book can coach them to greatness. Hawkins says that the best athletes get to the top of their sport with the help of coaches, mentors, and others. He shares guidance that helps readers reflect on what motivates them, rediscover and assess their core values, philosophies, and competencies, find settings that allow them to be the most productive, and track their progress towards accomplishing goals. Listen to John Hawkins' My Strategy, Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio.
We are back, and we are Aflame Ministry here on Bold Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning, and my guest is Pastor Rob Horam, a former design engineer, now pastor of prison ministries in the state penitentiary in Nebraska. And before the break, Pastor Rob, you were talking about what happens when you bring some of these different groups of men together. And you alluded to something called followers of Christ. Share a little bit more about what that is and how that relates to Kairos and all that's going on that you were talking about in the prison ministry.
Sure. Well, so Kairos, in Kairos, I'll just say, put simply, followers of Christ is regular church, as most people know it, in prison. And so it's people who have run against this wall and realized that their way of doing things is just not working. And so they're trying to let God speak to them. They intentionally go to worship, to hear the good news, to pray in community, be part of a loving community. And Kairos is people who would never go to church. So there are people that have been invited by the prison to participate in this program at our request. We specifically request the hardheads, the guys that get a lot of misconduct reports, that sort of thing. And so they would never go to church. And it's amazing. So we're talking about this, the racial relationships and the opposition between the gangs that tend to be ethnically oriented, and the church, in a way that isn't so true on the outside, but on the inside, is the most colorblind place I think I've ever been. It truly doesn't matter. People love each other as human beings. And this is the great revelation I was getting at in terms of Kairos. People recognize that this guy over here that I'm supposed to hate because of the color of his skin, actually we have a lot in common. And especially in terms of the brokenness of our lives, the things that have shaped us to be who we are today. And here we are learning about something else we can have in common that would totally reshape our lives to look totally different. And wouldn't that be a good thing? And so the people that come to Kairos learn what maybe the people that come to church you think already know, but I think not necessarily. But it all gets reinforced. And it's just not an issue. It's amazing to sit in a big circle in a study group and talk about the issues we do. And even, when the whole thing with George Floyd was going down, and they were very well aware of it. The guys in the prison are very up on their news. And they're very concerned about it. And that was one of those rare opportunities. They look at each other and suddenly realize, oh, yeah, I guess we're not the same color. And so this white guy would have to sort of defer to this black guy and say, well, tell me about your experience. And you understand most of the people in prison have had negative experiences, at least from their perspective, with law enforcement. They're obviously still alive, but they all have slightly different experiences too, and it's really good for them to share. We did have one of our regular study groups got sort of derailed, and we just left it that way, kept going to talk about people's experiences with law enforcement and with authority and with race and how that affects things. And it's really great. I mean, there were people that walked across the circle and hugged each other. It was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, that is cool. As you're talking about that, I'm thinking we really should do some of that stuff on the outside. Might help keep some of the people from getting to be on the inside. And things like that, if we were to start doing some of the same sorts of things. However, in prison, your options are far more limited, and you have a kind of a captive audience, so to speak. Which
it's not exactly captive, but you definitely have more attractions. I mean, there's an opportunity to be part of something besides my normal routine. Yeah, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the options, like you said, are probably more limited there than the rest of us have as to what to do with our time and everything. So that, in some ways, that's a good thing. So how does how are things now? Is anything different? The pandemic's easing up. At least in the minds of many of us. There haven't been lately in the news the racial justice issues as much. How are things going then now in the prison ministry? Is any of this changing?
Yeah, I guess, for churches on the outside, there's this great problem, at least in the eyes of many, that because of the pandemic, people stopped attending church or they started attending online. And actually, I think my understanding is that overall church attendance actually went up during the pandemic, but that's because people could do it more easily. And some people were even attending multiple churches because they could. But now that people are allowed or are willing to congregate again, not so many people are joining in person. And in the prison, that was never really an issue. There's still always this hunger to get together. And do we need to, is that a pause there?
Yeah, we do need to take a break. But I'd like to follow up with a little bit of that after we get back. We'll pick up there on the other side of the break. This is Bold Brave Talk and Tuned In Radio. You're listening to A Flame Ministry. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning, and Pastor Rob and I do have much more to share, so stay tuned.
The opiate epidemic has reached crisis levels, and with so many families affected by addiction, opiate-related drug overdoses, and death, the time is now to have a real constructive conversation about addiction that could lead to better prevention, treatment, and recovery. Alan Charles, author and keynote speaker on drug abuse and prevention, presents The Alan Charles Show. Alan brings a message of hope, sharing his unbelievable story of surviving a 24-year addiction to cocaine and highlights from his memoir, Walking Out the Other Side, An Addict's Journey from Loneliness to Life. His raw honesty and courageous heart breaks the stigma of addiction and offers a unique perspective into the mind of an addict. Join Alan each week as he brings his listeners to a true understanding of the grip of addiction. It is only with this understanding that we can begin to heal. The Alan Charles Show, Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBM Global Network.
Dr. RC will share extraordinary resources and services that promote educational success as well as making a difference in the lives of all social workers as well as the lives of children, adolescents, and teens of today. She will have open discussions addressing many of the issues that we face about our youth and how being employed in the uniquely skilled profession of social work for over 18 years has taught invaluable lessons through her personal experiences. She will also provide real-life facts, examples, and personal stories that will confirm that why serving as a child advocate is extremely beneficial when addressing the needs of the whole child. Listen live to Dare to Soar, Saturdays, 10 a.m. Eastern on the BBM Global Network, and tune in radio as Dr. RC will provide thought-provoking information that will empower, encourage, and strengthen students, families, and communities across our nation. You can also visit her at soarwithkatie.com.
We are back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on A Flame Ministry on Bold Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio. My guest is Pastor Rob Corum, and we're talking about prison ministry, especially in the state of Nebraska, but I'm sure that there are commonalities all across the country here with that. And before the break, Pastor Rob, you were starting to talk about I had asked a question about how are things now since things are starting to ease up with the pandemic and everything. And you were referencing that, quote, on the outside, a lot of people are not returning to in-person worship. And you were going to go on talking a little bit more about that. So please continue.
Sure. Well, so in comparison, on the inside, those who are hungry to hear the good news of God revealed in Jesus continue to come. The impact has been mostly on volunteers. So it's been hard to get volunteers to come back into the prison. And one of the things you alluded to earlier, it's just so true. I really like to have volunteers come in, and I know that people think that I want to do that because they're going to help me in some way. And this is people's normal perception of themselves is, I'm good, I'm just going to help other people. Mm-hmm. But really, the reason I like volunteers to come into the prison is because everybody has sort of a caricature in their mind of what an inmate is like. A prison inmate. And when they get inside and worship with them, what they find is that they're worshiping with other human beings. Mm. And over and over when I debrief people afterwards, the biggest thing I hear is, it's just amazing just how human they are. Yeah. It really is. They're human beings. And it is a great value to the inmates as well, because it helps them to see that this thing that they're doing on the inside is not just on the inside. It's actually all over. Jesus is everywhere. And one of the big things that I say to them is, when you get out, we have this phrase, you need to take Jesus with you. That is, you need to stay plugged into the body of Christ. The only place mm-hmm. they've ever really known the body of Christ is on the inside. That can look like impossible. And so it's really valuable for them to see that this is something that is everywhere. And yeah, they might have to work at it a little bit to find a church when they get out, but they need to do that and need to keep this transformation that they've seen in themselves. And it can be so encouraging on the inside. Mm-hmm. Don't let that be wiped out by the world that just doesn't care about people.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, and the thought just occurred to me: would the people who do volunteer, would there be any prohibition against, caution against, whatever to against? Kind of letting an inmate who's being released, if it's within the same going to live, if that person's going to live in the same basic general community, inviting that person to worship with somebody who's been a volunteer out in that congregation.
Yeah, so long as they, really the sticky part is during that sort of in-between time, maybe if they're on parole or something like mm-hmm. that. But there are churches, there's at least just connected with our system, there's a congregation in Lincoln and a congregation in Omaha that specifically engages people who are at community corrections, is what they call it, where you're still a ward of the state, you're still serving your sentence, but you're allowed to leave the facility to go to work, to go to school, to go to worship, these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And it's a step and in the right direction, and a step in terms of helping them see that we're continuing to be engaged in the body of Christ through this step. I just lost my train of thought where we were going with that. But anyway, the point being, that's right. You were talking about when someone actually is out of the system and can you invite them to your church? And absolutely. And it's part of the biggest concern people have about church in general is all the hypocrites there, you know. And mm-hmm. our general response is, yeah, there's always room for one more. But to make sure that we actually live the life, walk the walk, and love the broken, love the people that are hard to love, and because that's what Jesus did. And there are security things that we do while people are on the inside, like we just use first names and that sort of thing. But once you're on the outside, then it just becomes a matter of how much do you share, and you do have to be a little bit vulnerable, and that's a hard mm-hmm. thing to do. But that's one of the things that's a big part of the training for the Kairos volunteers is learning to be real, so that the people we're working with can learn to be real also. That's a big step in the right direction.
Does Kairos follow people once they're released? Is there any kind of continuing connection with them?
There really is not. And I remember years ago when we first started out, I felt like, oh, this is a big hole, a big problem. But what I found is that in every step of the way, the body of Christ is there, and each one, if you make the connection I'm making with the New Testament in three different places, Paul talks about the body of Christ having all these different gifts, and people are called to different purposes, all with the same body. So there are people mm-hmm. that do that, just not Kairos.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's just interesting to know what happens with that. We do have to take another break. This is A Flame Ministry here on Bold Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning. Pastor Rob has more to share, and so do I, so we're coming right back. Stay tuned.
According to the American Nurses Association, there are approximately 3.5 to 4 million nurses in the United States. So where do all these nurses work? What kind of roles do they have? What kind of education and training help to prepare them for so many different settings? What kind of impact do nurses have on patient outcomes? The World Health Organization has announced that 2020 will be the Year of the Nurse, honoring the 200th birth anniversary of Florence Nightingale. An international initiative called Nursing Now is underway to raise the profile of nursing. The National Academy of Medicine has convened a committee to create the Future of Nursing 2020 to 2030 that will focus on how the nursing profession can create a culture of health, reduce health disparities, and improve the health and well-being of the U.S. population. Learn more and join Joyce Batchelor on All About Nursing, Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the BBM Global Network.
Have you ever wondered why some children recover from their symptoms of autism while others never seem to get any better? After 13 years of research, Karen Thomas has recovered her own son from his symptoms of autism naturally. She now shares how she did it with you in her free webinar so that you can have the right resources and knowledge to help your child. The definition of recovery is to regain health. Karen offers this to you in four stages: healing the gut, natural heavy metal detoxification, balancing the co-infections of autism, brain support, and repair. Register now for this free webinar to help you know what you can do to help your child to sleep better, be more calm, improve focus, and reach their fullest potential to live a happy, healthy life. Go to naturallyrecoveringautism.com/free workshop. Empowering parents with the resources to naturally recover autism from a mom who's done it.
We are back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host for Aflame Ministry. My guest is Pastor Rob Corum, and we are here on Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. Pastor Rob, you've been talking about ministry as a pastor of prison ministry in the Nebraska State Penitentiary through the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. What else has kind of come out of it? Has anything else kind of come out of the pandemic as a positive result for the ministry there?
Sure. I guess one of the things that occurs to me I should probably bring up is I've mentioned a couple times that I serve three populations, and one of them is actually a women's population at a women's facility also in Nebraska. And one of the negatives that came out of the pandemic was that small groups in general got shut down. So it's one thing to stand in front of a big group with lots of space between you and them, and they're all wearing masks. And it's another thing to sit in a small circle and talk directly to each other. So those did get shut down. And one of the big places that hurt was in the women's facility. I was leading a weekly study group with people who had just come in. So this is basically intake for the system. And while they're there, they spend a certain number of days getting sort of their programming figured out and all of this. You know, it's a very practical thing. But for the people that are there, the emotional state is just devastated. I mean, their whole life has just gotten flushed down the toilet. And so this is a really important time for them to hear that it's not yet the end of the world, that God has still has plans for them. God still loves them. And God gets the last word, not death. And so it was really good, and it's something we have not yet even been able to restart because of the pandemic. They're still quarantining everybody that comes in. But most of our small groups have been allowed to restart. That's not to say I've actually gotten it done yet because I'm still working on things. But where I'm working on them is during the pandemic, the email traffic dramatically increased, and a lot of times when inmates send you an email, what they're doing is asking a question, and you start to see a pattern in your questions. And I realized, wow, we should talk about this in a small group. And I would recommend resources. You need to get this book. And I know they have a library. I know they can actually even buy books. You need to get this book and read it, but usually they wouldn't. So actually got a foundation in Western Nebraska gave us some money to buy some of these books. And so I'm going to do that. And we're going to restart our small groups based on a couple of these resources that I think will be really helpful. And the cool thing is, instead of going each week and saying, okay, what are we going to talk about this week? It'll be really much more inmate driven in terms of what they have demonstrated they would like to hear things about.
You know, that's always a good thing when we as faith leaders listen to the questions that the people around us, wherever we are, have about the faith and about life,
yeah,
and how that relates, how faith relates to those things. I remember hearing about a pastor who years ago did something where asking people to submit questions and concerns they had and used that as basis for sermons for many weeks or months to come after that. So that for those of us who use a particular cycle of lessons, that could get to be a little issue. But, that's an idea, a good one.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think your ministry focuses on is the commonality between various faith traditions and religious perspectives and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. Really, the in a nutshell, what we're talking about focusing on is, who am I? Who is God? And what's the connection? What's the relationship about? And how do I make that connection? How do I have that a relationship in this way? And what is prayer? You know, we think of prayer as like a vending machine. I'm gonna put in my 2 cents worth, and then I'm done. Right? When a lot of people think prayer is something that when I'm done talking, it's over. And wow, what do we do about listening? And so there's a lot that it isn't particular to any given real faith, but is really could be really helpful.
Yeah, and as a pastor in a prison, you serve anybody, especially anybody who has an identity as Christian. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's correct. I am privileged, I guess, as a sort of unpaid staff to be particular about my faith, being Christian, as opposed to the religious coordinators there who aren't as part of the government. They're not, they need to serve everybody. But yet I do serve a role for them as full-time volunteer clergy. That's my official title. I lead like memorials for deaths and that sort of thing. And it could be anybody. And we really, when your message is that God is love, it's really helpful if you actually live that, you know. And so God is love for all humanity. God loves us. And we believe that that is demonstrated very clearly in Jesus, but that means it needs to be demonstrated in us too, if we are followers of Jesus. And just meet people where they are. You know, I believe Jesus is God meeting us where we are as one of us. And that's what we're doing in the prison. Meeting people with the love of God, no matter who they are.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that's also the basic tenet within Judaism, within Islam, across most faiths, that there is love available somehow, some way. And that's a common ground for that all of us can hang on to and claim and work from. Yeah. We do have to take another break. This is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host for Aflame Ministry. Pastor Rob and I will be back, so stay tuned.
Did you know that your beliefs create your entire reality? But it's the subconscious beliefs that do most of the creating. Belief shifter and life coach Shiraz can help you identify those limiting beliefs and eliminate them, often in a single session.
Like, it was almost instant, like I had relief right away.
Creating better health, relationships, careers, and finances. Let Shiraz help you step out of safety and into awareness.
Definitely something's happening. It's like a flow inside. Yeah, it feels good.
Whether in person or online, Shiraz provides personal coaching, belief shifting. Visit Shiraz at energeticmagic.com or call 416-529-7429. Energetic Magic on the BBM Global Network, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Find your greater happiness. Be well. Be aware. Be magical.
We are back. This is A Flame Ministry. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning. We're here on Bold, Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio, and my guest today is Pastor Rob Corum, pastor of prison ministry at the Nebraska State Penitentiary. And Pastor Rob, you've shared a lot with us about the prison ministry, but we're running out of time. So please let people know how to get in touch with you if they want to learn more about Kairos and maybe setting something up in their own community. And any last little tidbits that you have to share with us.
Okay. Well, probably the easiest thing, because it's going to need more of the time than we really have, would be if people just wanted to have a conversation with me. My regular email is Pastor Rob, so all run together, so there's two R's together, FOC, which just stands for Followers of Christ, if you can remember that, PastorRobFOC@gmail.com. Or if you can't remember that, you might be able to remember to look up NebraskaSynod.org. Just look up Nebraska Synod online, and you'll probably get there. And in there somewhere, you can find how to connect me. And that email is actually prisonministry@NebraskaSynod.org. And if anybody wants to email me, we can start a conversation that way. I would love to hear from people that would be available to come to worships either in Lincoln or in York, Nebraska, a little town most people probably won't have heard of unless you live there, near there, and that'd be a great thing. And in terms of Kairos, if you're in Nebraska, well, tell you what, go to kairos.org, and there somewhere you'll be able to find state chapters. And I realize our audience here is all over the map, and so there may very well be a prison somewhere with a Kairos chapter that you could get involved in. That'd probably be the best thing to do. And I'm sure that there's contact information there for the officers in that, and we would always love, especially right now, because all volunteer activities were shut down, just shut down for like 2 years or more, and we are desperate to get things restarted.
Yeah, wonderful information. Kairos is spelled K-A-I-R-O-S. Since many people may not know how to spell that one. And Nebraska Synod, the word Synod, S-Y-N-O-D, that's not a common word either. So NebraskaSynod.org and Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Was that .org as well?
I believe it is, yes. I don't actually have it up in front of me, but you said he's also just been in Kairos Prison Ministry, and that will get you there.
Okay, Kairos Prison Ministry. Thank you, Pastor Rob, for being here and sharing your ministry with us and helping demystify some of what happens within the prison system. And
Thank you for the opportunity. The people
who are there, because they are people who are the inmates in there. So for people to get in touch with me, please go to aflameministryconsulting.com. You can find me there. You can find me on Facebook under my name or A Flame Ministry Consulting, and LinkedIn, other places that I'm also available. And I always close the show asking people to do two things. First of all, is find 10 things that you're grateful for every single day. It could be it's a sunny day if you've not seen the sun for a while. It could be having a shower, which I would love to have at my house because we've been low on rain. It can be something as simple as that. And then one way to share a bit of God's love. It can be looking up Kairos Prison Ministry and seeing what that's about. Can be sending a text message or an email to someone, a caring thing. It can be a prayer as a way of sharing a bit of God's love. Even if the person you're praying for doesn't know that, it can be a thank you to someone in the grocery store. Any can be all kinds of many different simple little things as a way to show a little bit of God's love to someone else, especially someone who may be having a tough day. Maybe somebody who doesn't feel very lovable at that particular moment. So, and then I invite you all to come back again next week for another show. So, again, 10 things to share a little as a way of being grateful and a little bit of a way to share a little bit of God's love. So take care, God's blessings, and come back next week.
This has been A Flame Ministry with your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning. Tune in each week as Kathleen guides you through the many challenges.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. I will get you the
communities today as she ignites the ministry of your faith community so that more people can hear the message of God's love on Kathleen Panning's A Flame Ministry.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.